Happy New Year, Pod and the Cob listeners. Welcome to our very first bonus episode of Pod and the Cob. My name is Tyler. I'm here with my wonderful co-host, Stephanie. Stephanie has figured out that if she makes peace signs, balloons will show up on her screen. So she is in a very good mood. Things are looking up in 2025 now that Stephanie found out about the balloon feature. It's going to be a great year because of the balloons. I'll give you a warning right now and say this bonus episode is going to be a lot more casual than our normal episodes. And it will be edited by yours truly, not by our wonderful editor, Nina. So it's going to be a little bit more lo-fi, a little bit more cash. This is a kick up your feet on your desk kind of bonus episode.
Yeah, totally. It's sit tight, hang out, couple of pals, sitting around, shooting the shit. You know what I mean?
That's right, you know? Crack a drink. Even if you're doing dry January, today's a moment you should be cheating while you listen to the episode.
If not, crack open a little seltzer water, you know?
Whatever you need.
As long as you get a crack, though, that's pretty crucial. Or like the pop of the bottle.
The other thing that makes this a bonus episode and not a regular episode is typically the format of Pod on the Cob, for those of you who aren't aware, is we review movies that feature corn in them. That's kind of our gimmick. But for these bonus episodes, we're kind of like divorcing ourselves of that because, frankly, there's a finite number of movies that have corn in them, and we don't really want to like put too much of that content into the bonus episodes as well. So the bonus episodes are a little bit more like stuff that Stephanie and I want to talk about involving corn or movies or maybe both sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we felt like since the 2024 just wrapped up, we're starting a new year, Stephanie and I wanted to do a retrospective of what we watched last year, movies specifically. And the way we wanted to do it was, what were the three things we saw last year that we liked the least, and the three things we saw last year that we liked the most. Stephanie, there's some more ground rules to this, right? Do you want to kind of explain some of the other parts of this?
I mean, not like a ton of ground rules, honestly. We were pretty just free form here. It didn't, our movie picks don't necessarily have to be from 2024. Some of them are, some of them aren't, but we, both Tyler and I watched these movies in 2024. So from January to December 31st, 2024, that's when these six movies that we've picked out each, that's when we watched them. We might not have watched them for the first time in 2024, and we can kind of get into the more, we can get into the specifics when we're like talking about each movie. But generally speaking, these are movies we watched in 2024. I found that my worst list was a lot easier to compile than my best list, and my worst list happens to have all the movies on it are from 2024. So I don't know what that says about 2024, but I'm not gonna like, you know, dive too deep into that.
I did the same thing Stephanie did. My movies, some of them are from 2024, some of them aren't. Some of them I've seen in the past before 2024. Some of them I saw for the first time ever. My criteria, and I think, you know, we kind of did it our own way. So that's kind of, yeah, so it's kind of like my list is like the three movies I least enjoyed watching and the three movies I most enjoyed watching. That's how I did mine.
Yeah. Dear listeners, if you don't already know, this is 100% subjective. Our choices are subjective. So yeah, we're not swayed by critics and what the critics are saying. We're just purely going off of how we thought of the movie, what we felt.
Yeah. All right, let's get right into it. Let's start with our bottom three, right? So the things we watched last year that we liked the least. Stephanie, what was your third least favorite thing you watched last year?
My third least favorite thing I watched in all of 2024 was a movie called Hot Frosty.
That was on my list. That was number four on my list. It doesn't make my top three.
You had to exit.
It was in my top. I had to exit out. Yeah. Hot Frosty fucking sucked.
Sucked. Hot Frosty sucked. I'm not even going to say who it was directed by. It starred Justin Milligan, the guy from Oh my God, I almost said Twin Peaks. Schitt's Creek.
Yikes.
I'm sorry. If you're familiar with Schitt's Creek, he plays Ted in Schitt's Creek, who's like the boyfriend of Alexis. Anyways, he's the Hot Frosty character. He's a snowman. He's brought back to life by the girl from Mean Girls. who plays, oh my God, I can't even remember her name in Mean Girls. Her name is Lacey Chabert. I'm sorry, Chabert. I didn't look up how Chabert. To say her last name. I looked up other names, but I didn't look up her last name. She's one of the friends in Mean Girls. She awakens a snowman who was like carved in her town square, and one thing leads to another and they fall in love and it's god awful. So that was my third worst movie of 2024.
People are really memeing this movie a lot. They're trying to turn it into like a meme worthy movie. And I'll just say, I also watched Hot Frosty. It is not meme worthy. The first half of it, or the first like bit of it, is kind of meme worthy. And the last bit is kind of meme worthy. But the middle is a slog. It is so boring. It's not, yeah. It's really bad.
No, I wouldn't say it's meme worthy.
Yeah, so I'm really active on Letterboxd. I think I say this every episode. Woodward_Dibble is my Letterboxd. And I have a best of list of 2024 and a worst of list. And that's where I'm pulling my picks from. So if you want to see all of the things I reviewed in the year, they're all there. Hot Frosty was on my worst of list, but it wasn't in my bottom three.
Okay.
So I'm going to do a couple honorable mentions really fast. Okay. Because Hot Frosty is worth, that's an honorable mention. And I'll also say, I got to give an honorable mention to The Last Exorcism, a found footage horror movie from 2010, directed by Daniel Stamm and starring Patrick Fabian. I turned it off. So I couldn't put it in my bottom three properly because I couldn't finish it.
Tyler,
so
it doesn't count. Movie. Wow.
It was fucking awful. I don't know who recommended this to me. I'll find you and I will punish you. My third least favorite thing I watched last year was Tim Burton's melodrama Big Eyes from 2014, starring Amy Adams and Christoph Waltz. This was highly recommended to me, and I hated it. It felt like I was watching a Hallmark movie. Career low performances for every actor involved.
Wait, Amy Adams and Christoph Waltz?
Yes.
Wow.
People like this movie. I didn't like it at all. Amy Adams plays a kind of timid, sort of mousy artist who's really shy about her art. She makes these really eccentric drawings. It's based off a true story.
Yeah.
She makes these eccentric drawings featuring girls with especially large eyes. And Christoph Waltz plays kind of a sleazy artist who sort of starts to kind of take advantage of her art after marrying her. I won't say, I'm going to try to keep my reviews kind of spoiler free, but I don't recommend any of my bottom movies, but I certainly don't recommend Big Eyes. Big Eyes to me was I like Tim Burton doing a departure from his typical style. This was an ill-fated departure for me. I really didn't like it. That's
wow.
That's my number three.
All right. Yeah. And I also don't recommend any of my bottom three. And I mean, both Tyler and I, we've said this before, like we kind of like bad movies, like in a sense, but it has to be like a certain type of bad movie, which leads me to my second worst movie viewing of 2024. Also a movie from 2024, A Quiet Place Day One. Quiet Place Day One was directed by Michael Sarnowski, and it was starring Lupita Nyong'o and Joseph Quinn. Joseph Quinn was in Stranger Things. I don't think I need to say what Lupita Nyong'o has been in because she's an incredible actor. But I will say, terrible in this movie. This movie was awful. I did watch A Quiet Place, like the first one, A Quiet Place with Jim from The Office, you know, that whole situation.
Yeah. Jim from The Office.
Jim from The Office, you know, he did. It was the first movie was like kind of fun, I guess. I mean, I can kind of pick it apart, but I didn't want to get too like, you know, sure, it's fun. It's scary, whatever. The second one probably would have been better off never being made, never being viewed by me. Yeah, it's just really bad. I don't even really know what to say. I guess it's the like origin story of, if you've seen A Quiet Place, it's like how it all happened. Day One, it's literally in the title, how the aliens invaded and how people are discovering like that you have to be quiet and all this stuff. So many plot holes, like just so much where you're like, why? It was really bad. Don't recommend.
I've never seen any of the Quiet Place movies.
Oh, really? You haven't seen the first one?
No.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't like it. You have to be quiet, otherwise the monster will eat you.
It doesn't sound like my thing. I've heard good things about them, the first one especially.
I mean, I think the first one was good enough and successful because it was like an original story and it was like kind of scary and like it was pretty decently acted. But then to make a sequel, it was just really bad. You start asking questions and you're like, actually, never mind. I don't want to know. I don't want to know the answer.
Yeah, I feel like this is a story. I haven't seen them, so I won't judge too much. But I feel like it's a story that doesn't need explanation, you know, from what I've heard about it. That's kind of what I glean. And this didn't do well. Quiet Place Day One did not do well in the box office. Those movies typically do well in the box office. So curious to see like where the franchise goes from here. Well, you really, 2024 is pretty prominent on your list.
I know. Well, you'll wait to hear my number one. What's your number two?
My number two is another found footage movie, actually, horror movie from 2012. It's actually a series of vignettes. So it's a bunch of vignettes that are kind of tied together with a central film, and it's called VHS. It's a very popular franchise. This has been recommended to me so heavily for so long, and I was really excited to watch it. And I don't get the hype for this at all. I thought every vignette VHS. Was bad. VHS. I thought there's a bunch of sequels. It's kind of become a place where like new kind of up and coming directors can sort of test new content. So there's some big directors attached to the first one. We have David Bruckner, Adam Wingard, Joe Swanberg, Ty West. There's a bunch more. But none of the vignettes were scary. All of them were predictable. One thing you'll never hear me do on this show ever is judge something for being low budget. I don't think that's fair, but I will judge a movie for being low budget, but like uninspired or uncreative in how it uses that budget. And I don't know. I just really wasn't a big fan of VHS. This is a really popular franchise. I don't personally like get the hype. I don't think I'll see the others. It felt like I was in like a haunted house at Knott's Scary Farm the whole time.
Ooh.
Like I was just like, something's gonna pop around the corner. Like I just felt like the whole thing. And then the narrative device that ties it all together, like the string that like ties all the films together, it doesn't go anywhere. Like nothing happens. I was just like,
That's the worst. Yeah. Such a waste of time.
So anyways, that's my number two. You're on to your number one, your least favorite movie that you watched in 2024.
By far, least favorite movie of 2024. Came out in 2024, watched in 2024. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, wow. I never saw that.
Consider yourself lucky. You saved yourself a couple hours off your life. Okay, I'll go in a little bit more to this because I have a little bit more to say. I actually like the Planet of the Apes like universe. In high school is kind of when I was like early high school. Late middle school, whatever, is when I kind of was like introduced to like the Planet of the Apes world. And I thought it was like really fun and cool. And I don't think I had seen all the following sequels and stuff. And I know there's a million Planet of the Apes. This movie had a $160 million budget, which to me is absolutely crazy because it was so atrocious. It was atrocious. So I watched it on a flight. So I think the only reason I didn't turn it off was because like I was just on a like 6-hour flight and had nothing else to do. So I was just watching it. But pretty much the entire time I'm like rolling my eyes and I'm like, I hope the person next to me is watching me watch this and judging my taste in movies because I'm wasting my time watching this movie. I'm like, what else is there to say? It was just really bad. Nothing mattered. So like, you know, when movies will like set up a whole thing and then it'll kind of play out, but then ultimately it doesn't really matter what happened in the entire movie. And then at the end, the last 2 minutes, it's like they open a door and they discover like a person standing there and it's like, oh, okay. So this was just a setup for the next movie so that they can then go into, it's just like a revolving door, I think. At this point. But man, it was bad. The main actor, her name is Freya Allen. Girlfriend, you did a terrible job. Your acting was not great. The writing was awful. I guess like if I'm trying to think of something somewhat positive to say, they had like a lot of CGI and sometimes it was fine, I guess. The other times it was just really just like, it was just so bad.
Wow, high praise. That's really high. It had CGI and some of it was good for $160 million budget.
Wow.
Wow, dude. Yeah. That's a franchise. I haven't seen any of them other than the original from the 60s.
Okay, so you've seen the original.
Yeah. I've seen the very original. I like the original. It's been a long time since I saw it.
Yeah. 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 Okay. What's your number one worst movie of 2024?
Yeah, my least favorite movie I saw in 2024. It's the only one that I'll be talking about today that is, for my least of at least, that is from 2024. It came out in 2024. I saw it in theaters. It bombed horribly, so no one will be surprised by this. There are probably people who are already predicting what I'm going to say. But my least favorite movie I saw in 2024 is Argylle by Matthew Vaughn, starring Bryce Dallas Howard, Sam Rockwell, Bryan Cranston, Samuel L. Jackson, Henry Cavill, Dua Lipa, Catherine O'Hara.
Wow. This was Catherine O'Hara?
I don't even know where to start with this one. This was such a misfire. Everything was wrong with this movie. It was never funny. The action was never exciting. They tried to use humor inappropriately throughout the entire thing. The plot is stupid and pandering. I was squirming in my seat the entire time. This was so bad. I think maybe the biggest sin that this movie commits, and I'm going to spoil something. I don't give a fuck. I'm spoiling Argylle. I guess I'm spoiling the worst movie
Pause
I saw this
now.
Year. Yeah. The biggest sin of this movie was they ham-fistedly try to connect it to the Kingsman universe. So it turns out that the Argylle is like part of the Kingsman universe. And I'll just tell you what, right now, if that is true, kill that universe right now. Pull the plug. And Kaseyana, you know, my wife, Kaseyana, we talk about her in the podcast all the time. She is a big fan of, she likes action schlock. That's like her favorite genre of movie, action schlock. And Argylle should have been right up her alley. We went and saw it because she wanted to see it. And she also hated it. So if your target audience isn't enjoying it, then, you know, that's a bad sign. I saw the first Kingsman movie. I thought it was good. I liked it. This movie sucked. And there's nothing to get out of it in terms of like, it's not so bad, it's good. It's just atrocious.
That's all my three again. They aren't so bad, they're good. They're just bad, period.
Yeah, you know, actually, like you said this at the start, but I'm gonna validate what you said. We like bad movies. And remember, the list criteria for us is how much we enjoyed the thing we watched.
Right.
So a movie could be objectively a bad movie, and I'll still say I enjoyed it. In fact, this one doesn't make my list, but one of the best movies I saw this year in terms of my enjoyment was Madame Web, because it was the perfect level of bad, but I enjoyed it. Like, I was laughing.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, but no? I haven't liked a Spider-Man movie since Sam Raimi directed a Spider-Man movie.
Okay.
I kind of like the Tom Holland ones, but like, it's not, they're not the same. MCU's not the same. But yeah, Madame Web was like that is a good example of a movie that is objectively a bad movie, but I also enjoyed it and I wouldn't put it as a worst movie I saw this year, right? For me personally, that's my take, right? If you don't mind, I would like to segue there to, you know, the best things we saw in 2024. Do you mind if I kick it off with an honorable mention? Because it's a nice segue between our two things. My honorable mention for best thing I saw in 2024 is 2013's Fateful Findings by Neil Breen.
Tyler.
We watched this on my birthday this year. If you don't know who Neil Breen is, he's a very odd, non-traditional director. I'll leave it there. Experimental, let's say.
Well, I can just interject really quick and say that was in my top five worst, and it didn't make it. It didn't make the cut to top three, but it was in my list of worst.
The amount of fun I had watching Fateful Findings.
It's true. It was hilarious.
It's hilariously funny. It's a very bizarre movie. I literally don't even know how to explain it to you, dear listeners, because I don't understand the plot of it at all.
No.
I highly recommend you check it out if you like bad, good movies. It is up there with some of the best. Okay, let's go to your third favorite thing you watched this year.
Okay. My third favorite thing I watched, this one's kind of a similar to my third worst in that it's a holiday movie. I think just being so close to the holidays, these were kind of fresh in my mind and stuck out. This is a movie I have to watch every year at Christmas time. I think it's an extraordinary film. Scrooge, 1970s Scrooge with Albert Finney as Ebenezer.
Yes!
Is that in your top?
No, but it's my favorite Christmas movie ever.
Oh my God, hell yeah. I mean, it's amazing. For those who don't know, I mean, are you living under a rock? But anyways, Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol is what it's based off of. It's a musical. It is incredible. The music's great. The set's phenomenal. I can't say enough good things about it. I love it. I actually watched it twice this December because I liked it so much. So yeah, that's my third best watch this year.
This is one of the, I would say that Scrooge movie, I grew up on that. It's very nostalgic for me.
Okay.
The soundtrack is incredible. It's like you're watching a stage play, and I mean that in a good way.
Yeah.
It's probably one of my mom's favorite movies ever.
Okay.
So mom, if you're listening, thanks for listening. Don't forget to like and subscribe and give us a good review. But also, yeah, Scrooge, shout out to Scrooge.
Wow.
None of my top three are from the year 2024. So I quickly just want to say, you know, my favorite thing I saw from 2024 that was, you know, made this last year, it didn't make my top three, but I want to give it a little shout out. The best movie I saw in 2024 from 2024 is Furiosa, a Mad Max saga.
Nice.
I'm a big fan of that franchise. It's not the best one. It's not better than Fury Road or better than Road Warrior, but I really loved it. George Miller directed it. He directs all of them. It stars Anya Taylor-Joy, Chris Hemsworth. And I saw it in theaters. I really loved it. It didn't make my top three, but I just wanted to give it a quick little shout out because it's the only one that's from 2024 that I'll be mentioning for the rest of the episode. My actual third favorite thing I saw this year is this undiscovered gem. Nobody knows about this movie. It's from 1973. It's directed by this nobody named William Friedkin. No one even knows who this guy is. It's a movie called The Exorcist.
Wow.
Little indie classic. No, I'm just kidding. Of course, everyone knows The Exorcist, one of the most famous horror movies of all time. I rewatched it for the Halloween season this year. And it's one of those things where I went in knowing I was going to like it because I've seen it before. And it's so fucking famous for good reason. And just even knowing all of those things, I was still shocked at how much I love this movie. It is, you know, A24 and all these, you know, neon pictures. And there's a lot of companies right now making a lot of horror movies that are kind of about other things, right? About grief or about loss or about sorrow. And Exorcist for me is like the ultimate example of an effective horror movie that's not really about what it's about. Like the exorcism in it is so secondary to all these other things that make it scary. You know, your child being sick, not knowing how to help them, having to put faith in something that you don't even really believe in. Someone with lost faith, having to regain their faith to help someone in need. Like, it is just such an exceptional movie. I know I'm basically glazing a movie that doesn't even need to be glazed more. But yeah, I mean, I just can't say enough good things. Exorcist still stands up to me as arguably the best horror movie ever made. I still think it might hold that title. So goddamn good. Yeah, that's my number three.
Hell yeah, that's a good one. I love that one. All right, on to number two for me. Number two in my best movies that I watched this year is from 2024. I wanted to include a 2024 movie.
You cheated. So you cheated. Cool.
I cheated.
Right on.
Whatever.
All right, no, it's cool. Yeah, we all cheat. We're all cheating here now.
My movie number two is Wicked. Wicked, the musical, based, of course, off the extremely popular Broadway show Wicked by the same name. It's based off of a book with the same title, Wicked. Ultimately, all of it's based off of The Wizard of Oz. I've been a fan of Wicked since I was little. I don't know. Gosh, go online and find a million other people who know way more about this than I do. But I just love the music. The music's amazing. I went and saw the stage play when I was in like grade school with my family in Los Angeles and just was so just like starry eyed. It was just amazing. And I kind of went into the movie thinking it was going to be really bad. And I went and saw it in theaters and I actually was very surprised at how much I liked it. So That was my number two. I thought, gosh, like Ariana Grande is Glinda, Cynthia Erivo is Elphaba. I was like, no one can top the like original Broadway ladies who play those parts, but like they did a really good job and the set design was amazing. Like I think it was really well adapted to screen. So that's my number two. What's your number two?
My number two is cheating a little bit because I rewatched a movie this year that is already one of my favorite movies I've ever seen. So it's a bit cheating, but I hadn't seen it for a while, so I wanted to rewatch it. And I have like rules around how I do this on Letterboxd. If I watch something in 2023 and I watched it again in 2024, I don't really put it on my best of list because I just watched it. But in this case, I hadn't seen it for a couple of years. So my number two is 1995's Dead Man by Jim Jarmusch. It's a black and white psychedelic Western starring Johnny Depp, Gary Farmer, and so many other famous people. Crispin Glover, Lance Henriksen, Mike Wilcott, John Hurt, Robert Mitchum, Iggy Pop, Gabriel Byrne, Jared Harris, Milly Avital. You go on and on. There are so many famous people in this. Eugene Bird. Yeah, it's a really cool take on the Western. It's about Johnny Depp plays an accountant from, oh gosh, I don't even remember where he's from. He's from the middle of the country, from a more civilized part of the country. And he goes to the West to take an accounting job at the end of the line, at the end of the very end of where the train will take you in the US. And through a series of mishaps, he ends up kind of wandering around in the woods, horribly injured for the entire movie, and has to learn to survive by accepting the fact that in order to live, you have to die. Soundtrack is by Neil Young, and the soundtrack is really dissonant and heavy and weird and doesn't fit the Western molds. One of my favorite movies I've ever seen in general. I can't recommend it enough. Dead Man is, if you like a kind of weirder watch, Dead Man is worth checking out.
Right on. Wow, so this is the end of the line here. We're at our number one, huh?
Yeah, the best thing we saw in 2024.
My number one that I watched in 2024, it was released in 2023, but I hadn't seen it till this last year. Late Night with the Devil.
Oh, it's my number one. That was on my best of list.
Yeah. Written and directed by brothers Colin and Cameron Cairnes. The main character, his name is David Dasmalchian. Which, man, some of these last names, I actually had to look up like pronunciation guides because I'm like, I don't want to slaughter this. Gosh, I really enjoyed that movie. I definitely recommend it. If you're into kind of like it's definitely considered like a horror movie, but it's kind of scary, I suppose. It's set in 1977. The premise is David Dasmalchian's character is a talk show host. He's the main competitor for like Johnny Carson or whoever is the other big talk show host at the time. Then we got to get our ratings up. Otherwise, we're going to get canceled. What can we do? It's Halloween night, I believe. And they get onto their show that night live. They get like basically a girl who can talk to the devil, essentially. And I don't want to spoil it, so I'm not going to give away the ending or anything, but it's shot as if you were watching a behind the scenes kind of filming of this late night show. When the show is actually going, it's like you're watching the show with the live audience, and then they'll be like cut to a commercial break, and then it'll kind of be like people following them around with the cameras going backstage, like talking. Like it was really, I really liked it. I thought it was really well done. I thought it was original, which is important for me when it comes to like movies, although my other two are both adaptations, but whatever. I really liked it. It was fun. It was great. Recommend it. I'd watch it again, which is saying something. I feel like if a movie has rewatchability, that really helps in how I feel about it, positive or negative. But yeah, Late Night with the Devil.
That was one of my best movies of 2024 as well. I saw that. I echo everything you just said. And then some, you know, I love the style of it, mirroring that talk show format. It goes in places you don't expect it to. Big recommendation from me on that one as well. I thought it was great. My favorite movie I saw in 2024 is a movie I've never seen before. It was recommended to me by a film buff friend of mine from my previous job. And you know who you are if you're listening to this. Thank you for the recommendation. You already know how I felt about this. It is 1981's Possession, a French-German psychological horror drama made by Andre Zulawski. I apologize. I'm sure I'm butchering that name. Starring a very young Sam Neill from Jurassic Park.
Wow.
Isabel Adjani. Isabel Adjani, by the way, is the standout in this movie. It is one of the most powerful performances I've ever seen in a horror movie. She is incredible in this. And this movie in general is absolutely incredible. It's about a married couple going through a very kind of like messy separation, and the psychological trauma that's inflicted on them as a result of that separation starts to kind of have supernatural, existential, real life results that start to impact both of their lives in incredibly unexpected ways. I can't believe I've never seen it before. If you like horror, if you're down to watch something that's going to challenge you in terms of maybe you like a David Lynch movie, or maybe you like something that is a little bit like odd and surreal, you have to see Possession. It is so good. That's one of those ones that I'll be coming back to time and time again. A really fantastic movie.
That's how you know it's a good one. If you want to you finish it and you're like, that was great. You reflect, I'm going to rewatch that.
Look up the scene on YouTube where Isabel Adjani's character has her breakdown in the subway tunnel. I'm not going to say anything more. Just look that scene up. If you like that scene, you're going to like this movie. If you don't like that scene, steer far away from this movie. But that scene really sums up the power of the performances and how far it's willing to go as far as like the surreal psychological bullshit that happens in it. So yeah, Possession, fantastic movie.
Incredible. There you have it.
That just about does it. There's a couple little things I want to add to the episode here. We have gotten some really cool messages from listeners reaching out to us and just showing some love. So I wanted to read a couple of those.
Please.
I thought it'd be kind of fun to sort of see what some people are saying. And, you know, we really appreciate those. If you would want to email us, you can hit us up at podinthecob@gmail.com. You can also hit us up in social media or leave a review on any of the podcasting platforms that you might use. We're everywhere now. And yeah, you know, maybe we'll read your review on a bonus episode like we are today. I'll read a couple. First off, we've got one from Pamela. I won't read any last names or any like email addresses or anything like that. Pamela says, "Hey, how about covering Nacho Libre? I'm really loving the show." Yes. Thank you for writing us.
Hell
Nacho
yeah.
Libre is on our list. We are planning on covering it down the road. I believe my co-host has never seen it.
I have not. No. Wow, amazing. Thank you, Pamela. Good recommendation.
Yeah, thank you so much, Pamela. We also have one from Lillian. She wrote us way back when, on Halloween Day, actually, when our first episode came out.
Oh my gosh. Day one. Day one fan.
Day one fan. Hi, y'all. Love the show this morning. Really set my Halloween right. I do have a recommendation. Truly fabulous movie with quote-unquote High School Musical star Lucas Grabel?
Okay. Wait, who does he play?
The movie's called The Adventures of Food Boy, where Ezra just wants to be a normal boy, but he discovers his superpower to shoot food out of his hands. There's a very good popcorn scene that cracked me and my siblings up back in the day. There might be more porn featured, but definitely remember that scene. I think you'd have a great time watching it.
Oh, Lillian, that sounds incredible. I just did a quick Google search. Wow, this looks great. What a great rec.
Yeah, we'll check that one out for sure. Yeah, that one's definitely on our list now.
Oh my god, this is hilarious.
We have one on our Spotify review that was left. I'm going to go ahead and not read their username because it includes their last name and I don't want to blow them up. But they say, "So festive and funny, like a little slice of Christmas magic, and I love Jessica."
Some of us love Jessica more than others, but I won't name any names.
That was from our Santa Claus is Coming to Town episode. So thank you for leaving a review for that one. What else we got here? I had a couple more pulled up. We have one from our Signs episode. "My new fave way to start the morning." We're glad to hear that. And we have a review from Kelsey for our first episode, Children of the Corn. "So good. Hoping for a Surf's Up episode and Chicken Joe analysis."
I also have never seen Surf's Up. But I am aware of it. Okay. Chicken dough, so there must be corn? I mean, hey, we'll trust.
Thank you all so much for listening to the show. We hope you enjoyed our first ever bonus episode. We'll have more of these coming out in the future, for sure. And we'll keep you updated on when these are coming out. Right now, we're staying on a monthly cadence as far as our main episodes go. But there is a universe where, if I can edit these properly, we will try to get one of these out every month as well. So you'll get two episodes a month. That's our goal right now. And as things evolve, we'll keep you informed. Please listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find us there. You can really help us by giving us a 5-star review and leaving a review as well. Tell your friends to listen. And yeah, just keep on cobbing, folks. That's what we really need from you.
Keep cobbing on. And keep writing in, you guys. We love to hear from you. And we love to hear if you have recommendations, or if you liked a movie we talked about, or if you have a memory from a movie we talked about, or even a hot take. We would love to hear it.
Yeah, we love that. The next episode comes out at the end of this month, January 31st. It's a big one. It's one that you all have been asking for. It's probably the most requested movie for us.
Yeah. I can't wait for you guys to hear it.
It's going to be a good one.
Yes.
But that's it for now. Happy New Year. And yes. Thanks for listening.
Happy New Year. We love you. Bye.